This morning we're going to think about some things relative to God's home or the family. And that is a topic that has been in the news as of late. In fact, a week ago this past Friday, the United States Supreme Court ruled that homosexual couples, lesbian couples, could marry within the United States, and that would be law for all 50 states of the Union, and that every state would have to honor that as the law of the land. I would like to point out what God's Word has to say about this topic this morning. And please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 through 28. When we think about God's home and what constitutes God's home, God has a very definite pattern for that. And He wants us to follow His will in that regard. In Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 through 28, we read these words. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." When we turn to the beginning of the Bible, we see the fundamentals of creation. In addition to the creation of the world and all things therein, we find God's creation of a very special institution, the home. Evolutionists have hammered at the creation account for over 200 years. They have thrown out the account of God's creation and have thrown out the account of God's creation of the home with it. They do not believe that God created this world according to His design and His standard and His pattern, a topic that we discussed in our Bible class this morning. But they believe that the world and everything within it, including the home, has evolved over time and therefore has changed and therefore is subject to change. And that is the primary and fundamental difference between those who would submit the home to evolutionary forces and evolutionary patterns versus those who would submit the home to God's will and God's design and God's pattern. There is no denying that the home is under assault today. There is more than one problem assaulting the home. It's not just an assault from the forces of homosexuals and those, but it's an assault from many different directions. There is the problem of fornication and of children born out of wedlock. There is the problem of adultery. There is the problem of divorce. There is, of course, the problem that we are now faced with in our society, the legalization of homosexual marriage. There is the problem of single-parent homes, whether those parents be fathers or mothers. There is the problem of orphans. There is the problem of child neglect. There is the problem of child abuse. And we could go on and on listing so many other problems in relationship to the home today. But all of these problems are the result of the failure of our society to teach that there is a standard for the home and that standard comes from God. As we saw earlier, the problem of evolution and resulting humanism has eroded the home and in so doing eroded the foundation of society as well. Because the home is the foundation of society. Evolutionary theory, as we mentioned earlier, implies that there are no fixed standards for us to attain higher than our own aspirations or our own desires. Now, let me explain that a little bit. Evolutionary theory says that there is nothing that's fixed, that everything is changing, that everything is evolving. Thus, there's no definition for what a human being is. There's no definition for what any other species of animal is. There's no definition for what the home is. There's no definition for what the purpose of marriage is, or anything like that. Because according to evolutionary theory, all things change, all things evolve, they move from one thing to another thing, and they don't stay the same. And there are no purposes to life, and there is no meaning to life, according to evolutionary theory, other than what humans decide their purposes are and what humans decide the meaning of their life is. So it's all up to individual humans to make those decisions. Now, in another Supreme Court case, not the one that was decided this a week ago this past Friday, but in a Supreme Court case that defines liberty, one of the justices that is currently on the Supreme Court, Anthony Kennedy, said this, quote, "At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life." Now, I want to contrast this statement with one made by Jesus Christ almost 2,000 years ago. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." John chapter 8 and verse 32. Now, what is the difference between these two statements? The difference is that Kennedy believes that it is everyone's individual right to determine his own concept of existence, of meaning, and of what his life is to be. And that's what it means to be free. To decide for yourself whatever you want to be, regardless of what that might be. But on the other hand, Jesus Christ said, no, that's not the case. But in fact, it is truth that is the standard of what it means to be free. You see, it's not up to the individual to decide what freedom is and how to order our lives if we truly want to be free. But true freedom, Jesus says, comes from knowing the truth and practicing the truth within our life. And truth is absolute. It's not variable, as Justice Kennedy believes. And on the side of Justice Kennedy, you have evolution and all that that entails. And on the side of Jesus, what you have is creation and all that that entails. No truth, truth. Evolution, creation. Everything is changing. There are some fixed standards. But in order to have those fixed standards, we must have God within our lives. And without God within our lives, then anything goes. As it said in the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes, which is exactly the standard that Justice Kennedy is using to make his decisions for the highest law of our land, the Supreme Court. So there is a difference. There is a difference between believing in God and not believing in God and believing in evolution. When we understand that God created all things, by contrast, we believe that there is a purpose, an objective purpose, something that God defines. We believe that there is meaning to life, not as we define it, but as God defines it. And we believe that we can be what God intended us to be, according to His will, according to His standard. Now, the home is in trouble today. Desperate trouble. It is in a struggle for its very definition and existence. And the majority of this country may very well decide that the definition of the home can be anything that they want it to be. Indeed, if Kennedy's standard for judging what liberty is prevails, then we will see not only the rise of homosexual marriage in this country, but of polygamy and of every other desire that any person can have within their heart being legalized as a standard for marriage. Now, as Christians, we can no longer assume that the world knows God's design for the home. In the past, we have enjoyed a general presumption on the part of most people in this world that the home is going to be a man and a woman, and that that is going to be the basis for raising children and bringing up children in our society. But today we cannot take that for granted any longer. And that means that we as Christians, as individual Christians, as part of what we must teach to others in our society today, we'll need to understand what the Word of God teaches about the home, and we will need to be able to sit down with others and to show them from God's Word what that standard is. And so that's what I would like to do with you this morning as we think about God's home. Now, I don't know that we'll be able to get through all the material that I have in this particular lesson in this one sermon. In fact, I still haven't finished my introduction yet. So we'll probably just get to a couple of points. But I do want us to look at the home. And we may end up finishing this lesson next week as we continue to think about this topic. But let's look at the home in this lesson. Let's look at the origin of the home, the design of the home, the responsibilities of the home, and the functions of the home as God made it. Because really, that's what matters. That's the standard for all things. And not only must we be able to teach what God's Word says about the home, but we need to convince others and to show others that there really is a standard for what is right and wrong. And that liberty is not based upon one's own personal whims and desires, but that true liberty and true freedom is based upon the truth. And that truth is found within God's Word. And that it is God's Word. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy Word is truth." And that's what we need to teach others, to know and believe and respect the Word of God as the truth. Because if we don't, then they will simply decide what they want to decide, believe what they want to believe, and nothing else will matter with them. First of all, let's look at the origins of the home. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, we read this very simple but profound statement. "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." Now, I believe that we can understand that statement. Everything that is built, everything that is constructed, has a builder or a constructor and a designer. Someone who has decided what this will be. Now, as we said earlier, our culture and our society today is shifting very strongly toward the opinion, toward the view that the only purposes and the only designs in this life are going to come from us, from humans, from individual people. And that is that everyone does what is right within his own eyes. That's where that philosophy ends up. But the Bible teaches that God built all things. He that built all things is God. And that includes the home itself. The home is God's creation. It is not man's creation. In fact, I would say that if you left that, the decisions of how to bring children into this world, and history bears this out if you look at what has happened over the years, that if you just left that decision into the hands of men, that you would get all kinds of different permutations for the home. Maybe you would have multiple women in the home, or even multiple men in the home, or multiple women and multiple men. Or there would be same-sex marriages as we have now. Or there, you know, history has a lot of things to say about that as far as man's desires go. But we're not asking what man desires here, because man can desire anything. There is no standard with man. We are asking what God desires, and what are God's intentions, and what does God want? You see, it was God's intention to create both male and female. And that's why we read Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 through 28. God didn't create multiple men for one woman, neither did He create multiple women for one man. Neither did God create many men and many women for the home. But one man and one woman was His desire. And it was God's intentions that the home be composed of husband and wife. In Genesis chapter 2 and verses 18 through 24, we read, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now think about what has happened here in this story. And oftentimes we will take what's going on in this passage and we will teach it to our young children, and we will leave out some of the more sensitive aspects to this. But I want to try to communicate those things this morning, but in a very sensitive way. You see, it was God's intention that Adam have someone comparable to him, someone like him, that he could have as a mate. And we see exactly what God wanted when we read this. You see, God created Adam first, and then he intended to teach Adam a lesson. And so he brought all of the animals to Adam and had Adam name them or describe them, and to really focus upon these animals and what they did with one another. And Adam would have noticed both the males and the females of these animals. But you will notice that in the naming of the animals, in the describing of the animals, in verse 20 it says, "But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him." Now God made woman to be a helper comparable to Adam. Someone who could complement him in a way that would enable the family and that would start the family. Now remember that God had commanded them both to be fruitful and to multiply. And they did that as a result of God's design. God did not want man and animals to be together. Neither did God want a male with another male to be together, or else he would have created another male. He did not want a woman with another woman to be together, or else he would have created two women. No, God makes it very clear here. By the way, neither did God create an adult man with a child, or an adult woman with a child of either gender. No, that's not what God wanted. An adult man with an adult woman. And that is God's design for the home. Now, when that design was fulfilled, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And we have in verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And this is the origins of the home. Jesus also recognized the divine origins of the home in Matthew chapter 19 and verses 4 through 6. Matthew chapter 19 and verses 4 through 6. It was in this context that the Pharisees came to him asking him a question specifically about divorce. And his answer was as follows. And the question was, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered as follows in verse 4. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now, man has separated in this country what God has joined together by the decision of five people. And Jesus said that we're not supposed to do that. But that is exactly what has been done. It is to be man and woman. And when the man and woman is joined together, then neither are they, the individuals, to separate, but they are to be faithful to one another. And so Jesus goes back to the creation to make his point to these Pharisees here, that in fact, from the beginning, God had a plan in mind, and that he originated the home. It is for one man and for one woman, and that is God's design. Now I know that if you go back into the Old Testament, you will read about polygamy, about there being one man with multiple women as wives, and even some of the patriarchs were in this situation. In fact, Jacob had more than one wife. But again, Jesus makes it clear that that was not God's intentions, that from the beginning he made them male and female, and that it was to be a husband and a wife. So Jesus recognizes the divine origins of the home and he affirms these facts. And when we follow Jesus' teaching, we will know the truth of the matter. And in having that truth, we will have freedom. We will have liberty. Just as he said in John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, despite the judgments of Anthony Kennedy, that is not liberty. That is not freedom. But as we think about God's Word, we can know what freedom is, we can know what liberty is, according to His truth. And so the home has as its origins God. The home didn't come about as a result of evolution. The home didn't come about as a result of man-made decision. The home didn't come about simply because man decided it was convenient. No, the home was created by God. And that means that that is the standard, and that is the pattern, and that is what is right, and that is the truth from God. And it doesn't matter how many courts of the land disagree with that, it doesn't make them right, just because they are court of the land. God is right, and His Word remains right, and the truth is right. And so, I know that with this decision that there was some consternation on the part of those who have held fast to the belief, the firm belief and the true belief, that the home is composed of man and woman, one man and one woman, and that we are going to have to continue to fight this battle, and that it isn't over yet. There are still some things to be done and still some things to do in relationship to teaching and preaching God's truth. But we can no longer take it for granted that everyone around us knows God's plan for the home. And we need to teach the origins of God's plan for the home. From Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, and from Matthew chapter 19 and verses 4 through 6. And let us remember what the Bible says. Let's remember that there is a God and that He will judge all men one day. This morning, we offer truth to those who would receive it. We offer God's plan, not only for the home, but for man's ultimate salvation with Him in heaven. It comes through Jesus, the man who was also God, Emmanuel, or God with us. And He taught us that to be with Him eternally, we had to hear His Word and believe it, confess Him as the Christ, having repented of our sins, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. And this is His plan for our salvation and our joy while we're here upon the earth. Sin does not have to rob us of our joy as Christians, and we can still be joyful and we can still be holy in spite of the fact that the world decides not to live in that way. And so if you would like to be a Christian this morning, if you recognize that there is a standard, there is a pattern for what is right and wrong, and you need to live by that pattern, we can help you in that decision. If you're a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been living faithfully, you haven't been living by that pattern, you've gone away, you've gone astray, some of the worldly teachings have influenced you to reject God's truth, then this morning we want to encourage you to come back to what is right. The truth, and only the truth, will set you free. Not our own way of living, not our own way of thinking. And so why not let God's will rule in your life this morning? Whatever your needs may be, won't you come while we sing the song of encouragement?